The portion of God's Word that we'll focus on this morning comes from the Gospel of John from chapter 9. Let's begin with prayer. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Amen. Darkness. It was the only thing that I had ever known. I had never known a beautiful sunset or a flickering lantern or a star shining in the night sky. My life was completely darkness. Because I was born blind. So from the point that I entered into the world, I had never seen my mother's smiling face, or the deep blue of the Sea of Galilee, or the grandeur of the temple in Jerusalem. I was blind to all of it. And as you might expect, the employment opportunities for a lifelong blind man were pretty much non-existent, fading me to a life of begging. And my constant spot was there in Jerusalem, just outside of the temple, counting on and depending on people to show me pity as they went and worshiped their God. Now notice I said their God, not my God. I gave up in believing in a God who would allow me to suffer in darkness a long time ago. In my whole life I had heard these whispered accusations against my parents. People saying, you know, God is punishing them for their sins by giving them this blind son. That's what the rabbis had taught our people. That whenever a child had some sort of affliction, that was God's way of punishing their parents for the sins that they had committed. And I had often asked my parents what they had done that left me blind. But they never had an answer. And so because I spent so much of my life asking the question, why would God allow this to happen to me? Eventually I just stopped asking and stopped caring. Because if God wasn't going to care about me, then I wasn't going to care about him either. Maybe you felt that way before in your life too. Because of the cancer raging inside of you. Or the addiction that you just can't seem to shake. Or the unexpected death of a loved one, and there's anger and there's frustration with God. And there's this guilt and this burden that just keeps growing on your shoulders day after day as that question keeps creeping into your head. Is God punishing me for my sins? And people had asked my whole life long, whose fault is it? When it came to my blindness. And so it really was no surprise when one day again on a Sabbath, sitting outside the temple, I heard some men ask, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? The question was the same as it always was. But this time the answer was something completely different. Because this rabbi that they were talking to said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. We have to pardon the pun, but this man's words opened my eyes to a whole new possibility. Could it be that God was using my blindness not in vengeful wrath to drive me away from him, but rather as a blessing to draw me closer to him? Could it be that your ailment, your suffering, your sadness, it's not a way to God showing his anger, but a way for God to let his grace and mercy shine forth from your life. But I thought to myself, no, don't think that way. Don't go there. The best thing you can expect to get from these men is their spare change. But then that rabbi said something that caught my ears even more. As a man who had spent my entire life in darkness, this rabbi said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And I kind of cynically chuckled to myself, and I said, well, if he's the light of the world, I guess I'm not going to be able to see him anyways. Or so I thought. Because that man had something far greater to give me than just the spare change that he had. This man they called Jesus, he spit on the ground and the dirt at our feet. And he mixed the dirt and the saliva together to make a muddy clay. Scooping it with his hands, he spread it over my eyes. In an authoritative voice, he told me, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. So at first I was skeptical. I didn't know if it'd be worth my time, if I should even try it. But that phrase that he said, the light of the world, it was stuck in my head. And so I went. I went and scooping some water out of that pool, I washed the mud that he had placed over my eyes. And I hesitated for a second, and I opened my eyes and I looked up and I saw. For the first time ever in my life, I saw. I saw trees, I saw birds, I saw people's smiling faces, I saw vibrant colors, I saw the light of the sun shining down on me, I saw things I never even imagined could exist. For the first time ever in my life, I had been freed from my darkness because of the light of the world. As you can expect, I sprinted home as fast as my legs could possibly carry me. But the whole time that I was running, I was thinking, wrestling with this Old Testament prophecy that I had learned and heard about so long ago. A prophecy from Isaiah, which said, your God will come, then will the eyes of the blind be opened. And I thought, could it be? Could this man who gave me my sight actually be the Messiah? But no, I thought, don't get ahead of yourself. Don't think that way. He's just like any other man. And when I got home, my friends and my relatives and my neighbors, they all crowded around me and they were absolutely floored as I told my story. I must have told it to them 1,000 different times. Every time, the people just staring incredulously at my formerly blind eyes. And some people believed me, some people doubted, and so they rushed me off to stand before the Pharisees, the religious leaders of our day, for a decision. And as I was standing there and all the people around me were excitedly shouting and relaying my story to the Pharisees, I looked at their faces. And the shock on the faces of these Pharisees very clearly said, isn't that the blind beggar that we see every day? But it can't be, because he can see us. But finally, they turned their attention to me, and they asked me to explain myself, to tell them what had happened to me. And so I explained it to them as simply as it had happened. I told them that this man that they called Jesus, he put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and now I see. It was simple as that. My whole life, I had never seen a thing, and Jesus did something, and now I can see everything. Shouldn't it have been obvious to them? Shouldn't that have told them something about Jesus? But these Pharisees, they refused to open their eyes to the evidence that was right there before them. Instead, they went the other direction and looked for reasons that they shouldn't have to believe that I was telling the truth, that this Jesus could have possibly done what I said he did. So they started arguing with each other. And some argued that Jesus couldn't be from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. They thought Jesus couldn't possibly have done this unfathomable miracle by the power of God, because certainly someone working by the power of God would know that they had to keep the Sabbath laws that these great Pharisees had laid out for the people of Israel to follow. In their minds, if Jesus wasn't listening to them, then he certainly couldn't be working through the power of God. But others of them countered and said, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? And finally, after all their back and forth arguing and bickering, they turned back to me, the evidence before them, And they asked me to give my opinion on Jesus, on this man who had given me sight. Now, I had heard how deeply the Pharisees hated Jesus, how they had threatened his followers and his disciples, how they had done everything they could think of to stop Jesus from proclaiming his message. And I have to admit that, honestly, I myself was still wrestling with that question, who is Jesus? But the more I thought about it, the more I thought and saw through my now opened eyes, I realized that this Jesus had to be so much more than just a regular man. And so I thought of the loftiest position that I could give to him, and I said, he's a prophet. If Jesus could give sight to my blind eyes, then certainly he had to be on par with great prophets like Moses or Elijah. But regardless of what I said, those Pharisees weren't going to believe anything but what fit their preconceived notions that Jesus was some sort of imposter. They even went so far as to call in my parents and to have them stand before them trying to prove that I had been lying all along about having been blind from birth. See, it wasn't just that the Pharisees didn't want to see the truth about Jesus. They literally couldn't see the truth about Jesus through their stubborn and blind unbelief. They refused to open their eyes and see the truth that was standing there right before them. But as they looked for more and more reasons not to believe, the phrase just kept running through my head, the light of the world, the light of the world, you can see because the light of the world has shined in your life. My thoughts about Jesus were rapidly progressing. They had gone from he's just a man to he's some sort of a great prophet. And now, the more I thought about it, the more I realized, and I couldn't hold it back anymore. And I found myself boldly, maybe a little bit foolishly, proclaiming to those Pharisees, to those blind guides, nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. I knew the truth that Jesus is from God and he had been sent to do God's work. As you might expect, that made the Pharisees absolutely irate. But they couldn't refute the evidence that was right before their eyes. And so they resorted to tossing me out of the temple, name-calling and accusing me as they did so. You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? They wanted to discredit my testimony, to make those who heard it say, why should we believe in a sinner like that guy when we can listen to these wonderful, holy Pharisees that lead us? But for the first time that day, those Pharisees finally spoke the truth. They were right. I am steeped in sin at birth. And so are you. And so are they. And so are all people. Because all people in this world are born as spiritually blind sinners, unable on our own by faith to see the truth, not wanting to see the light. Trapped helplessly on our own in the darkness of unbelief, like people hugging the back wall of a dark cave. See, that's the reality. That's our life. Because as King David himself wrote in the Psalms, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. See, I wasn't just born physically blind. I was born spiritually blind too. And I was destined for hell. And that's a reality not just for me, but for all of you. For all those Pharisees, for everybody in the world, unless the light of the world shines into our darkness. See, Jesus changed my life by giving me physical eyes that could see. But Jesus changed my eternity by granting to me eyes of faith that could see him for who he really is, the Savior of the world who takes away that sin that we are born in, that's destined us for hell. I finally saw through eyes of faith who Jesus was, the Savior, the light of the world, because he had a plan for my life, an even greater gift that he was going to give me than physical sight that he had planned from before time even began. See, after the Pharisees tossed me out of the temple, Jesus came and he found me. This man that I had never seen before came up to me and began asking, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" I recognized the voice, and with my heart drumming in my chest, I thought, could this be him? You see, my heart, I believed in the Savior. I just didn't know who he was yet. And that was when Jesus shattered the darkness of unbelief that was inside of me, that was in my heart, with his word, as he told me, "You have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you." I had seen him. Seen him with my very own eyes, the very same eyes that he himself had given sight to. I had seen Jesus. But what's even more, he had given me eyes of faith that could see him for who he really is, the light of the world who has saved me from a lifetime in hell, the light of the world who shined into our darkness to give us the promise of eternal life. And so I threw myself down at his feet and I worshiped him with tears of joy streaming down my face as I cried out my new creed, "Lord, I believe." And just like that, I suddenly realized what God's plan had been all along. Before God had even begun forming my blind eyes in my mother's womb, the same God who breathed the breath of life into the lifeless clay of Adam knew that one day he was going to spit into some mud and make clay and put it on my blind eyes so that he could give me sight. And so that through that physical sight, he could also work to give me spiritual sight. His plan for me from eternity, to call me to himself. And if I told you that my life is filled with so much joy and love and thankfulness, you'd probably say, "Well, duh. Look at everything that Jesus did for you." And that's absolutely true. But that's the same kind of love and joy and thankfulness that every single one of us here can have in our lives. That's the kind of light that every single one of us can shine forth in our lives as spouses, as parents, as children, as students, as teachers, as employers, as employees. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians, live as children of light. Live your lives with love and thankfulness and joy in your hearts, because just like me, all of you sitting here right now are formerly blind people. Formerly blind people who have been given sight so that you can see. As Paul says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, connected with the Word, whether it was through the waters of baptism where God washed the dirt of sin off of you and called you to be his own, or whether it was the Holy Spirit bursting forth the light into your heart that shattered the darkness of your unbelief through the Word of God, God has called you to be his own. He has shined his light in your life so that you can see through eyes of faith. You were blind, but now you see. And I hope that thought never leaves your hearts and your minds. Don't let the daily grind and frustrations of life snatch away your joy in Christ. Don't let the fears and the frustrations of this world snatch away your thankfulness for what Christ has done for you. Live it. And share it so that the light of Christ might shine forth, that his grace and mercy might shine forth in your life as well. And during this Lenten season, as we fix our eyes on the cross where Jesus went to take away the sin that destined us for hell, keep keep that cross always before those eyes that can see. And never let this thought leave your heart, that you can see because the light of the world has shined into your life. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.